is your ship and you are the captain. Oh, captain, let's make a deal where we both say the things that we both really feel. I feel scared and I'm starting to sink, and I only sink deeper the deeper I think. Oh, captain, oh, captain, deal. Oh, captain, deal. Oh, captain, deal. Oh, wow. There are red spots under your eyes.
Chapter 18. The Inevitable Plot. Shifu, are you finished? You said you wanted to leave as soon as possible today. Xiang Qinghua comes back to himself, and to Peng Hong Peng's politely knowing expression. The once spotty teenager is a grown man now, technically, still with a spot or two to his name, and he's become an excellent co-head disciple. He's got a very dignified look about him these days, an excellent face for denying whatever shameless things he does to achieve his goals, like he's never clung to anyone's thighs or feet in his life. Peng Hong Peng, you'll never stab me in the back to advance yourself, will you? Xiang Qinghua asks absently, filtering through forms he meant to fill out quickly. Peng Hong Peng doesn't even blink. Shifu, I would never do such a thing. He says sincerely. That would cause chaos across the sect. Anding Peak would be in shambles. It would mean so much extra work. True, true, Xiang Qinghua concedes. What about out of revenge for all the work I dump on you? This disciple, who would, of course, never dream of such wickedness, trusts that his wisest of teachers will have prepared a posthumous revenge plot for such villainy. Peng Hong Peng answers, without missing a beat. I wouldn't like to be banned from Madame Luo's esteemed establishment, for example, knowing what a friend to the sect she is. The consequences aren't to be borne. Xiang Qinghua pats the young man on the shoulders as he stands. Ah, well-reasoned as always, my loyal disciple. See that these get to Xue Yanxin to go to Huanhua. I'd prefer that rabbit teeth have these get delivered to someone we know and like, and know won't lose our mail. The rest can go through Jiangding as usual. Of course, Shifu. Ah, he really spent too much time staring blankly at the work in front of him, when he really should have been sorting it. There's so much work to be done. There's always so much work to be done. The scraps in front of him now are nothing, really. But today, the hefty culmination of it all hanging over his head somehow makes tackling every little bit harder. Xiang Qinghua feels like he's standing at the edge of an abyss. When Zhao is looking forward to having some new junior martial siblings, Peng Hong Peng comments, breaking through the daze again, still with that politely knowing expression. Especially if Shifu is picking some personally this year. I trust our peak's esteemed teachers to make their choices without my input as usual, Xiang Qinghua refutes. I'll just be there to observe. Should he ask Peng Hong Peng for advice of some kind? Peng Hong Peng must have greater insight than this old author god as to how young people think these days. But Xiang Qinghua has already wasted an unreasonable question on an in-joke. He also can't really ask anything meaningful without his shitty, no-good system popping in to let it be known that it can't be known. There's a great and terrible and long-in-the-coming plot afoot. He'll be expanding the plot holes again. The plot is finally afoot. The plot to end all plots. Of course, Shifu, Peng Hong Peng says. Xiang Qinghua isn't a good enough author to come up with a decent way to say something like, hey, little bro, my poor disciple, did you know that you don't actually know shit about fuck all? I have problems you don't even know exist. Oh, I really fucking wish I only had the problems you thought I did. Are you leaving now, Shifu? Xiang Qinghua inhales sharply. Ah, yes, right, it's time. The restaurant is closed when Shang Qinghua lets himself in. The tables in the dining room are still packed up, lit by dim light through shuttered windows, and the only sign of another person is the chopping sounds coming from the brightness of the kitchen. Shang Qinghua stops in the doorway and lets himself stare. There's a young teenage boy standing at the counter, 13 going on 14, still not yet near his adult height, which will be taller than Shang Qinghua, a fact he's still not prepared to face. Still carrying a youthful roundness to his features, Shang Qinghua has seen him like this 100 times before, curly black hair tied back, a kerchief covering his head to keep it out of his eyes, a slightly yellowed matching apron neatly tied just the way his mother taught him, and intent on the work in front of him. His hands are quick, the knife sharp and sure, and the movements of food preparation work slide right into each other, like he's done this 1,000 times before. When did the boy get so big? It didn't happen all at once. It snuck up on them, hiding dastardly in plain sight. Shang Qinghua remembers when his nephew barely came up to his waist. Fuck, Shang Qinghua remembers when his nephew couldn't walk. What is this? Who allowed time to pass like this? Liu Binghe scrapes the chopped vegetables off the board and into the basket beside him, before putting down the knife and turning around. He smiles. There's no way for Shang Qinghua to count how many times he's seen that before. Uncle, the protagonist says fondly, you're here.
Ah, what's with that?
You're here? Where else would I be exactly? Tianyi Overlook? Or maybe Jiyuan Mesa? I promised I'd be here, didn't I? Shang Qinghua complains, smiling back. Did you think I wouldn't manage to fall down the mountain in time?
I'll make sure to thank your disciples for pushing you, Uncle, Binghe says, like a brat, as he steps back to pick up the basket and put it away in the cold closet until it's needed later.
It's still kind of funny what a little bit of magic does to a story setting. Proximity to a cultivation sect has its advantages for the common people, especially those who maintain relationships with their local cultivators. It doesn't take long for the average person to look at things, like the cooling talismans that Anding Peak uses in such abundance, and say to themselves, hey, you could make a refrigerator out of this. Although, Shang Qinghua personally may have dipped into the inspiration of modern conveniences to spoil his sister-in-law on her birthdays.
Where's your mother? Shang Qinghua asks. Mama's in the back, triple-checking the delivery, Binghe answers, as he continues putting away his food preparation work.
Old auntie isn't coming today.
If your mother doesn't let you get away with that stuff, why do you think I will?
Shang Qinghua demands, unimpressed. Even cool uncles have to draw lines in the sand sometimes.
Stop picking fights with your aunt.
It was her idea not to come.
Sure. What reason did she give for skipping lunch exactly?
It was her idea. She said that I could have all the parents to myself as a sending-off gift.
Shang Qinghua can't really argue with that.
Luo Jiahui will inevitably be disappointed that her younger sister hasn't shown up, but he thinks it's a pretty thoughtful gesture to let the baby of the family have all the attention today. Either that or his little sister-in-law saw an escape and snatched it up just because she didn't want to spend another meal under well-meaning attack, fending off any more concerned elder sibling questions about how exactly she got her latest training bruises and why can't she be a little more careful with herself for once?
A little of both, maybe.
I couldn't stop her, Binghe mutters, in the tone of a boy who probably didn't try.
Shame on you for not tackling your auntie and tying her up with rope, Shang Qinghua says, without heat, because he is the cool uncle. Leave it to me to explain to your mother. Has someone explained to your mother yet? I'll say I got a last-minute message on my way down or something. Thank you, Uncle. Xiang Qinghua watches his nephew tidy up in an exacting fashion. Tasks are performed in strict order. Nothing is more than a correcting nudge out of its spot. In Luo Bingha's mind, there is a place for everything, and the world is really only right when everything is in its place. He can be a bossy little fellow, really. Luo Jiahui gets the same way when she's stressed. How are you feeling about the entrance test tomorrow? Xiang Qinghua asks. Luo Bingha pauses. Nervous, he admits, but confident. And I know it's not the end of the world if I don't get in, Uncle. I'll just keep working in the restaurant or find another sect or find some way to make my own fortune. Xiang Qinghua keeps a straight face through the blaring of the system. Warning! Thank you. I needed that like I needed a hole in my head, Xiang Qinghua thinks at the system. He really doesn't need to be told for the millionth time that there will be consequences for such a massive deviation from canon. He knows. He's been punching the numbers for years and years and years now. This potential deviation is not the hill he's determined to die on. He's picked his hill out already. Bingha sounds like a child scrounging up as much maturity as he can muster. It's very cute, but he still looks nervously towards Xiang Qinghua, waiting for a reaction, clearly hoping he said the right thing. Ah, that's a very mature outlook, Xiang Qinghua compliments, then winks. Are you sure you don't want me to get you into the sect without the test? Just say the word and your uncle will take care of everything. Not that many people will bother to pretend to disapprove of nepotism. It'll be fine. No, Uncle, Bingha says firmly, but he's smiling. The majority of the sects out there are more or less family businesses anyway, Xiang Qinghua insists. Chang Chong is a little different, it's true, but people are going to talk no matter what, so you might as well take advantage of the widespread tradition. No, Uncle. You are so righteous. Where did you get that from? Damn Liu Qingge. I'm going to get in on my own merits, Luo Bingha declares. When people find out, as Uncle says they inevitably will, they'll have less to talk about. I'm going to reach for new and challenging horizons on my own, like Mingyan. Xiang Qinghua doesn't know how to say that Liu Mingyan probably only took the entrance test because she wanted to get into Xianqiu Peak and, probably rightly, thought that Ti Qingqi might somehow wiggle out of a recommendation from Madame Liu or Liu Qingge. Liu Qingge volunteered to take his younger sister on as his first personal disciple, but Liu Mingyan was reasonably like, hell no! She put on her least flashy face covering and picked up a shovel and made herself Xianqiu Peak bait. Sneaky, stubborn little thing. Xiang Qinghua couldn't help but approve. Qi Qingqi only found out who she'd picked for her peak afterwards when Liu Qingge, acting like the extraordinary asshole he can be sometimes, grinningly thanked her for taking on his beloved younger sister. Their martial sister's expression was, very funny. She was so mad. Ah, well, I know where you got the lying from, Xiang Qinghua muses. It's not lying, it's just not volunteering the truth, Luo Bingha objects, still smiling. Yes, I know for sure where that trait came from. I'm so proud. The strong sense of fairness, on the other hand, Xiang Qinghua presumes, came from Luo Jiahui. He really doesn't want to contemplate any
other sources for the boy's traits. Sometimes, Shang Qinghua is a little bit unnerved by how well Luo Bingha keeps track of every little debt of who has had what share of what, or every little moment of personal annoyance. Everything on the dinner table must be divided equally, and he'll remember when they aren't. Little Bingha measures out the favors he does his auntie exactly. Loans of any items are expressly refused without collateral as insurance. As far as Shang Qinghua knows, his nephew is still privately nursing a grudge from Yan Tingting's daughter, petulantly calling his cooking gross in the middle of some childish argument 5 years ago. Normal kid stuff. An only child being territorial. Nothing unusual about it. It's cute. But, sometimes, Shang Qinghua wonders... Uncle?
Yes?
Do you think I won't be accepted to another peak? Shang Qinghua gives his nephew a long look, where Bingha has paused in his work. What is this? Hasn't he made it clear enough that he thinks, knows, his nephew can do anything he sets his mind to? He's pretty sure he's nearly talked his voice out already over this. But he can do it one more time if needed. As many one more times as necessary. I think you will, if this old man's opinion counts for anything. Luo Bingha grimaces. Do you want me on Unding Peak instead? It'd be easier to keep an eye on you that way, Shang Qinghua admits. But, you've heard enough about what I do over the years that I'm not surprised it doesn't appeal. After all the complaining I've done, I'd be surprised if you wanted to come to Anding Peak. Haven't I slandered it enough for you? I can complain more if you need me to complain more. It's no hardship, really. His nephew's grimace turns back into a subdued smile. I'm really not mad or disappointed that you want to explore other options, Shang Qinghua promises. You'll succeed no matter where you go or don't go. I won't embarrass you, Luo Bingha promises in return, very seriously. I know. You can if you want to, though. Bingha laughs. What? Maybe not just for fun, unless you tell me so I can get a good view of people's faces. But a few mistakes here and there are natural. They're good for the soul, if not for the face. And there's no shame great enough that would make me cut all ties and stop loving my nephew, you know. Even if he was the worst cultivator in the world, I'd just shake my head and sigh and say, ah, he's family. He's stuck with me forever, poor boy, no matter how he tries to shake me. Oof! A hug from Luo Bingha is a heavy thing these days. Shang Qinghua hugs his nephew back and pats him on the head, which still fits underneath his chin. What's this? Not the end of the world, remember? Not yet. Not yet. But he's not thinking about that. He's the adult here. He needs to keep it together. Thanks, Uncle, Bingha mumbles. Always welcome. Finish cleaning up and I'll go check on your mother, all right? Shang Qinghua finds Luo Jiahui in the back, where his nephew said she'd be, doing about as much work as Shang Qinghua was doing back on the mountain. She clearly was doing work, only the work got put aside at some point so that Luo Jiahui could sit on a crate with her head in her hands. Understandable. And predictable. The mother is more stressed than the son. He could have guessed. Huage, you're here already. Luo Jiahui scrubs at her face hurriedly, only to give up with a sigh when Shang Qinghua sits down next to her, a hand on her shoulder. Is Bingha finished yet? He insisted on doing it himself today, as always.
You shouldn't have instilled that sort of work ethic in him, Xiangqing Hua scolds. How is he supposed to manage with a bad habit like responsibility weighing him down, Jiamei? Ah, yes, yes, he's just cleaning up now. He'll be done soon. Let him have his last day before everything changes. Luo Jiahui leans into him, tense with stress the whole way through. Xiangqing Hua moves his hand on his sister-in-law's shoulder to wrap it around her instead. He'll do well, Xiangqing Hua promises her.
What if he does too well? Luo Jiahui whispers. What if that seal on his other side breaks sooner rather than later?
It's strong, and I'll be watching out for him.
I'd prefer it if he was your student rather than someone else's.
It's his choice, Xiangqing Hua says. Though if it was really up to him, he absolutely would have put more pressure on his nephew to come under Xiangqing Hua's wing on Anding Peak. He wants more than I can offer.
Luo Jiahui sighs. I still wish he could just stay home.
He needs more training, Xiangqing Hua says. Like one or both of them has said every time they've gone over this. They've had this conversation so many times, he feels he could have it in his sleep. He'll need it for when the seal breaks.
And he goes to your demon,
Luo Jiahui says unenthusiastically. Okay, that's a new direction, which is totally on topic, of course, but a little unexpected. Xiangqing Hua and Luo Jiahui don't really talk about Mo Bei Jun if they can help it. Xiangqing Hua doesn't like bringing those activities. His crimes, okay, he can name it to himself, his crimes, into his sister-in-law's house. And his sister-in-law can't really ask questions when there's almost always another family member around these days. Xiangqing Hua doesn't want to spill on how Mo Bei Jun used to treat him. He's still a little bit angry about that. In a hidden part of his chest, he doesn't let see daylight. And Luo Jiahui is too good at poking at soft places, because that will not help his sister-in-law's peace of mind. He really can't just go, yeah, this demon lord used to be a complete asshole to me, and I honestly thought he was going to snap and kill me some days for years, but we should still give him your son to look after. This is, unfortunately, as good as a demonic babysitter gets. He's so much better now, I swear.
Yes. If he keeps his word, Luo Jiahui presses.
He will, Xiangqing Hua insists. Jiamei, he will. Luo Jiahui remains unmoved, unconvinced, and untrusting.
What if he doesn't?
He's a man of his word.
What did you do for him for a favor like this?
Just some consulting on politics and resources, really, Xiangqing Hua dismisses quickly. Rather than confess everything he's ever done that could be construed as treasonous towards the human race, it really is a lot. They don't have time to get into that. And I saved his life, remember? It's not like he's not getting anything out of this himself. Good allies are hard to find.
Luo Jiahui only looks at him searchingly. Will we be indebted to him?
Not really, Xiangqing Hua answers, though the I could cry from relief gratefulness he feels sometimes begs to differ. Not after everything I've done. I've taken care of it, Jiamei. Don't worry.
Luo Jiahui smiles, like someone who's going to worry no matter what. Fuck you.
Very relatable. Xiangqing Hua squeezes her close against him. I'm taking care of it, he repeats.
Mo Bei Jun's side of the deal isn't the one that bothers him these days.
They stay like that until Luo Bingha comes to find them. looking like he's not really sure what he stumbled on or what to do about it. Shang Chenghua and Luo Jiahui make room for him between them. He comes to sit between them without argument, though it's a tight squeeze. Though Shang Chenghua's nephew also says, very casually, that there are better places to sit, a little like he's trying not to reprimand them for being weird. Here's good, Shang Chenghua says. What's wrong with here? Look at the scenery. Aren't we having lunch? Luo Binghe says. In a little bit, Luo Jiahui says, leaning her head on her son's shoulder. The back room of Shang Chenghua's sister-in-law's restaurant isn't a very good place to hang out, really. But leaving means having the last meal before the beginning of the end. Leaving means starting. Shang Chenghua could stay here for a long time. Luo Jiahui seems like she's having similar feelings. Luo Binghe is just impatiently putting up with them. I could just stay at home forever, Binghe says finally, like an offer. Would you? Oh, that would be a lot easier. I'll cancel everything, Shang Chenghua says, relieved. Forget everything I told you about getting into the good books of the other Peak Lords. Some of those were very important secrets, you know. Luo Jiahui reaches over to tap him admonishingly on the knee. You shouldn't hold yourself back just because your mother and uncle are feeling sentimental. We'll get over it, Shang Chenghua lies. I'm going to miss you, Luo Jiahui tells her son again. I won't get over that. I know. I'll miss you too. And you'll visit when you can? Every day I'm allowed, Luo Binghe promises. Then, after a few seconds, says very seriously, Mama, while I'm busy to keep the house full, you should convince Uncle to get married and give you nieces and nephews. It's his turn, after all.
What the fuck? What?
Shang Chenghua looks wide-eyed toward his nephew. Binghe is grinning at him. One of those, got you, grins that don't do anything to undo the fact that he just put a very dangerous idea in his future empty nester mother's head with a joke. Oh, bad nephew. Wicked, heartless nephew. Shang Chenghua didn't imagine betrayal would come so quickly. Luo Jiahui bursts out laughing. It is his turn. It's true.
I've got disciples for that, Shang Chenghua protests.
She even has to feed their bottomless appetites and everything. And she gets paid for it this way. No, no, no. Uncle Shang is way too busy for romance. If anyone here starts to long for the pitter-patter of tiny feet, they can do something about that themselves, Let's go have lunch already.
Finally,
Luo Binghe says, dragging both of them to their feet. At least one of them is excited for the future. Shang Chenghua has always let other senior Anding Peak cultivators handle picking out more strapping young folk from the entrance tests to be the newest errand runners, the ones who actually teach the disciples every day, for example. Although, originally, the decision was made because he really didn't give a shit, and the whole entrance test is still ridiculous enough to feel humiliating, so he avoided it for his own pride, too. He's allowed Lin Wenjiao, his other head disciple, and Qin Xuan to go along and have a say these past several years, when they expressed interest. Those girls seem to have a good eye. He doesn't dress up as a Peak Lord to attend this year. He keeps himself more or less indistinguishable from any other senior Anding Peak cultivator.
He's hoping that this way, it will convince most of the Changchong mountain sect cultivators present that Shangqing Hua has quietly passed through the entrance test every year, and they just never noticed him before. If they notice him this year, that is, since he definitely doesn't have the face or presence of a protagonist. Liu Qingge is also present, having reluctantly promised to let Luo Bingha attract someone else's attention, and doing a much worse job of not paying the boy any attention. He's not dressed up either, indistinguishable from the other Bai Chan cultivators present, but that doesn't do much to subtract from his general Liu Qingge-ness. People pay attention to the World War God, especially one that is pretty. People like Shen Qingju, for example. Though not for reasons of admiration. Fuck. This is really happening. Shen Qingju and Yue Qingyuan, each looking very much the part of the most important members of their sect, observing from the dais intended for any present peak lords. There are a handful of Qiangding peak cultivators moving around the testing grounds, occasionally coming to speak to the sect leader, plus one of Yue Qingyuan's personal disciples, a 15-year-oldish boy with floppy hair whose name Shangqing Hua forgets half the time, running between them all as a messenger. There are fewer Qingjing peak cultivators, who mostly appear to be there to socialize and are doing it far away from their peak lord. And one young Qingjing peak disciple, fidgeting attentively next to the dais. This disciple is a girl, who looks 12-ish or 13-ish, with big eyes and bigger loops in her hair, and Shangqing Hua couldn't possibly forget her name, even without being one of the main characters of Proud Immortal Demon Wei. Meeting Ning Yingying is an experience. The girl is always alarmingly excited to meet another peak lord. Shangqing Hua is convinced that Shen Qingju just likes watching Ning Yingying's cheerfulness trample all over his martial siblings, who can't help but look for a catch, because she's so not like her Shizun. And also, Shen Qingju isn't above using her to trap unsuspecting martial siblings in uncomfortable situations. Yue Qingyuan is obviously too close to Shen Qingju for the man's liking. Bro! Judging by the poisonous glances that Qingjing peak lord is periodically sending their sect leader. But Changmen Shixiang is apparently determinedly oblivious. Bro. Probably because Shen Qingju's health has been precarious. Again. Shangqing Hua has kind of wondered what the fuck would happen if Shen Qingju was ever too ill or otherwise unable to fulfill the role he needs to play today. Attending spitefully, not attending spitefully, it really could have been either. The only sure thing was the spite. Shen Qingju really doesn't like dancing to anyone else's tune. Did the system have a plan for that kind of willing and unwilling lack of cooperation? Shangqing Hua sees the young Ning Yingying go wandering away from the dais before getting called sharply back, giving Shen Qingju an excuse to step away from the Qiangding peak party to scold her. There was another female Qingjing peak disciple standing with Ning Yingying earlier, a stocky young woman who looks to be in her early 20s, who accompanies Shen Qingju to a lot of peak lord meetings these days, and whose name is often on the tip of Shangqing Hua's tongue when he remembers she exists. But she stepped away at some point when Shangqing Hua wasn't looking. Shangqing Hua is then distracted by a Longsheng peak cultivator, who has apparently identified him. Fuck. And decided that right here and right now is the perfect time to talk about problems. Fuck. They've been having with the latest batches of fertilizer from Xi Chao Peak. Time and place. Time and place, asshole.
Can Shang Ching Hua not have 5 fucking minutes from the day in and day out of Anding Peak when he's at Chang Chong Mountain Sect? Apparently not. So, Shang Ching Hua misses seeing young Ning Yingying pick out Luo Binghe from all of the available candidates for her new surety. However, over the Longsheng Peak cultivator's shoulder, Shang Ching Hua notices Liu Qingge noticing. Oh, fuck. Shang Ching Hua's head snaps around to see Luo Binghe bowed in front of Shen Qingqiu with a young Qing Jing disciple bouncing on her toes beside them. Shen Qingqiu clearly beckons the protagonist to follow them back to Qing Jing Peak. It doesn't take a genius to figure out what's happening. The plot! The fucking plot! Shang Ching Hua thinks, stunned at finally seeing it happen in front of him, feeling a cold shiver down his spine and a grasping hand around his heart. Shit! Holy shit! It was one thing to meet all these characters. It was another thing to live through the fall of Tian Langjun and all that setup. But to actually see his nephew and Shen fucking Qingqiu unknowingly following a script only he knows? It's fucking something else is what it is. Liu Qingge walks over to intercept. Oh, fuck. Shang Ching Hua has done his best to ease Liu Qingge into the idea of Luo Binghe attending one of the more scholarly peaks. Helped immensely by the fact that Luo Jiahui approved of her son bringing some culture into their family. Shang Ching Hua should have been maybe less cagey about it. He thinks that Liu Qingge, who begrudgingly accepted and proudly respected the fact that Luo Binghe wanted to succeed unassisted by his family connections, may have decided that meant Luo Binghe was headed for Chongding Peak, good, or Kuxing Peak, acceptable. Liu Qingge once made the statement that Luo Binghe, as diligent and clever as he was, would also do well on Tianqiao Peak. But Shang Ching Hua looks towards Mu Qingfang, also standing on the observation dais, and he can see the man's resolve not to get in the middle of whatever the fuck is about to happen. To save lives, one must first preserve their own life. Very intelligent. Ah, speaking of Chongding Peak and the observation dais, Yue Qingyuan clearly catch a sight of Liu Qingge heading straight for Shen Qingqiu, possibly because Shang Ching Hua is despairingly attempting to psychically project, "Bro, get off your ass and do something!" at him. But probably not. Yue Qingyuan immediately excuses himself from conversation and moves to intervene. "Lord Shang, are you listening?" the Longsheng Peak cultivator asks. No, Shang Ching Hua answers honestly, extremely tempted to push the man into the nearest hole and sprint across the grounds. He could make it. He could get there in time. He's prepared to hustle. But he can see heads across the grounds turning towards the disaster in motion. It's untrue to say that a real sense of foreboding erupts over a scene whenever Shen Qingqiu and Liu Qingge get too close to each other. They live in a world where spiritual energy is a real fucking thing, after all. So that shit actually happens in life or death circumstances. But the effect is still the same. Shang Ching Hua doesn't know yet if it would be helpful or unhelpful for his nephew to add a 4th peak lord to this. 2 is business as usual. 3, including Yue Qingyuan, is mediation. But 4? That's some burning hot potential gossip. Shang Ching Hua gets to see the exact moment Shen Qingqiu realizes that Yue Qingyuan is headed straight for him. The man doesn't stop, but he does slow and glance over his shoulder, probably for an escape route, where Liu Qingge is approaching like a thunderstorm from the other direction. Shen Qingqiu doesn't really do facial expressions like, oh fuck, so he doesn't do it even now. But that feeling is in the way he comes to a defeated stop. But he does it in a way that suggests the first person to reach him might actually die. Luo Bingha and Ning Yingying stop alongside the Qingqing Peak Lord, now lying in wait. Ning Yingying just looks confused, but Shang Qinghua gets to see his nephew spot Liu Qingge and make an oh fuck expression. Yue Qingyuan and Liu Qingge reach the Qingqing Peak party at the same time. Liu Qingge ignores their sect leader in favor of talking at Shen Qingqiu. Shang Qinghua is too far away to hear what's being said, but Luo Bingha looks generally mortified, so Shang Qinghua is going to guess that Liu Qingge is handling this with the usual grace of a war god. What happened to a bro keeping his promise to shut the fuck up? Shen Qingqiu, as diplomatic as ever, says something that clearly gets Liu Qingge's hackles up even higher than before. Yue Qingyuan looks like he's trying to get Liu Qingge to back off, while the Qingjing and Bai Chan Peak Lords have their back and forth. Finally, Liu Qingge draws himself up, back straight, and snaps something that makes Yue Qingyuan and Shen Qingqiu stiffen. And Luo Bingha, too. Fuck. Fuck, fuck, fuck. Both Yue Qingyuan and Shen Qingqiu's heads snap towards Luo Bingha, who looks tempted to throw himself into the nearest hole and bury himself. Shen Qingqiu then looks up and quickly narrows in on Shang Qinghua. Yue Qingyuan looks at Shen Qingqiu, then follows the man's gaze. Shang Qinghua resists the urge to wave nervously back at them. Shang Qinghua thinks that they both know that Liu Qingge had someone. Someone who Shang Qinghua also knew. But he really hopes that Liu Qingge didn't just publicly claim Luo Bingha as essentially his adopted son. Please, just let it be that Luo Bingha is Shang Qinghua's nephew. Liu Qingge is concerned on behalf of a friend. Damage control will be easier that way. Yue Qingyuan has known that Shang Qinghua has a nephew for a long time, and Shang Qinghua thinks Shen Qingqiu has had the shape of that idea for a long time. Please let them just be having the holy shit, Shang Qinghua's secret nephew looks nothing like him, maybe the kid isn't his bastard son after all, realization. Yue Qingyuan breaks first and turns to Shen Qingqiu, saying something that has the Qingjing Peak Lord looking incensed. Shen Qingqiu snaps something back that looks like it hurts to hear. Yue Qingyuan isn't moved, but Liu Qingge is, and both Luo Bingha and Ning Yingying rock back slightly from the verbal blow. Liu Qingge enters the fray again, attracting Shen Qingqiu's anger immediately. Yue Qingyuan looks like a man caught between a rock and a hard place. Or maybe between a sword and a sharp tongue? Shang Qinghua is sympathetic, but he also has to think, bro, you're choosing to be there. That's on you. End this shit. Shang Qinghua really should have tackled Liu Qingge when he had the chance. He has no idea how this is going to go. He can probably take the hit of this canon deviation. It would actually mean a lot of worries off his plate in some ways. But there are more important things ahead. They've got to be frugal. You've got to pick your battles, Liu Shidi. Shang Qinghua thinks angrily. Stop picking all of them for once in your life. Finally, Yue Qingyuan raises a hand for silence and turns to Luo Bingha, speaking to the boy directly. Oh, Shang Qinghua can see where this is going. Yue Qingyuan is going to let Luo Bingha choose. He can read it from the anger on Shen Qingqiu's face at the insult, in the way young Ning Yingying's mouth drops open from shock, in the way Luo Bingha looks back and forth, between a kindly Yue Qingyuan, a stiff Liu Qingge, and an absolutely furious Shen Qingqiu. That's, unexpected, but not surprising. Shit! Zhang Qinghua can feel the system bearing down unhelpfully. He'll have some replanning to do, possibly. But then Luo Bingha bows to Liu Qingge, saying something, and then clearly chooses Shen Qingqiu. Zhang Qinghua doesn't know if Yue Qingyuan offered him the choice between Qing Jing and Bai Chan, or if Changmen Shixiang threw Qiang Ding into the mix too, but wow! Yue Qingyuan, Liu Qingge, and Shen Qingqiu are all surprised. Ning Yingying, at least, looks delighted. Liu Qingge says something to Luo Bingha, who nods, and Liu Qingge begins to back off, saying something to Yue Qingyuan and Shen Qingqiu each, and even bowing. Shen Qingqiu says something that makes Liu Qingge visibly bristle, but he doesn't bite back for once. Character development. Shen Qingqiu sweeps away without a word to Yue Qingyuan, and Ning Yingying jumps in to lead Luo Bingha away with them. The older female disciple from earlier swoops in to join them. Her name is Fu something, Zhang Qinghua thinks. But she's so unobtrusive it gets lost in the rest of the shit show of Changchong Mountain Sect. And some of the other Qingjing Peak cultivators also start to trickle away from the testing grounds. Yue Qingyuan says something to Liu Qingge next, but Liu Qingge ignores him and stomps over to Zhang Qinghua, who isn't looking forward to the consequences of any of this, while simultaneously being desperately relieved at how many system-related consequences were narrowly avoided. The Longsheng Peak cultivator abruptly decides that their problem can wait another day, for some point of time in which an angry war god isn't bearing down on them, and they bail without asking to be excused for their own survival. Shen Qingqiu, Liu Qingge says disgustedly. Shen Qingqiu. Let's go anywhere else, Zhang Qinghua says, taking the man by the arm and dragging him away from all the watching eyes of the testing grounds. What happened to him getting picked naturally? Like he asked. I didn't agree to let Shen Qingqiu have him, Liu Qingge mutters. What did you think any other peak meant? Look, if he doesn't like it on Qingjing Peak, he can always just leave, Zhang Qinghua replies, ignoring the blinking disapproval from a system pop-up window. He'll find a way to get himself kicked out or something. He's resourceful. You'd better be ready to swallow your tongue and your pride, because I don't think you've made things any better for him now that Shen Qingqiu knows who he is. Shen Qingqiu knowing that Luo Bingha has connections could be a good thing, but Zhang Qinghua was going to let his nephew play the not volunteering the truth angle first to see if it went any better. The truth coming out could also turn into a bad thing. Self-destructive spite is a hell of a drug. Shen Qingqiu is a stubborn fucking bastard, outmatched in stubbornness, if not yet in bastardness, only by the protagonist himself. Liu Qingge makes a face of regret. Zhang Qinghua can't blame him too much. He really should have made the man explicitly promise not to intervene, even if Luo Bingha got chosen by Shen fucking Qingqiu. That's on him. Liu Qingge can't be blamed for seeing their kid near Shin Ching-Chu and going into Mother Bear mode. What are we going to tell Jia Hui? Shang Ching-Hua sighs. Fuck, Liu Qingge says under his breath. They don't tell her shit. Well, they tell her that Luo Bingho was picked, so she knows that her son didn't come home today for a good reason. Luo Jiahui is very happy to hear that. And they tell her that it was Shin Ching-Chu, Lord of Qingjing Peak, who picked him, because she would totally notice something was up if they tried not to tell her which peak her son was on. Luo Jiahui is very pleased to hear that her son will have the chance to study the arts and bring some real culture into the family. Hey, what does that make us? Shang Ching-Hua asks her, more amused than offended, only for her to ignore him, probably purposefully. Neither Shang Ching-Hua nor Liu Qingge start busting out any stories of Shen Qingchu's top 10 asshole moments. They don't need to set off Luo Jiahui's worrying when the man hasn't actually done anything yet. The closest that Shang Ching-Hua gets is saying that Shen Qingchu is a man with high expectations and low patience. Well, my Binghe is a hard worker and a clever boy, Luo Jiahui says optimistically. He learns quickly. I'm sure that he'll soon impress with his diligence. Liu Qingge looks tempted to bash his head against the dinner table. You'll be keeping an eye on him there, of course, Luo Jiahui says next. Of course, Shang Ching-Hua agrees. Liu Qingge nods. They've made this promise several times before already. Shang Ching-Hua makes a mental note to make Liu Qingge also promise to keep his ass off Qingjing Peak to avoid tempting Shen Qingchu's wrath any further. He'll get it in writing and make Liu Qingge read it aloud and then sign it. It won't do shit, probably, but he can tell himself that he tried.
He could have just come to buy Chan Peak, Liu Qingge says, sounding annoyed. He and Mingyan could have both come to buy Chan as my students.
Luo Jiahui presses her lips together like someone trying to hold back a smile and pats Liu Qingge's hand, then just ends up holding it. Well, neither of them wanted to be Huo Hua's student either, she says comfortingly. Hey, Shang Ching-Hua says, while Liu Qingge cracks a smile. They wanted to explore new things, and we have to accept that, Luo Jiahui continues, sounding a little bit like she's trying to convince herself. You wouldn't want to be coddled either, would you?
No, Liu Qingge admits. But if Shen Qingchu doesn't appreciate him, then I'll take him anyway.
No more peak poaching, Shang Ching-Hua says immediately, underlining his mental note to extract promises from his sort of brother-in-law. Let's not start another round of peak poaching unless it's an emergency. That always gets ugly. Even if it's amicable on both sides, it still, somehow, always manages to get ugly. Liu Qingge's expression says he's prepared for that and he'll win. Luo Jiahui's smile widens. Do you two have to go back up the mountain soon? She asks, changing the subject like the wonder she is. To settle your new disciples? Lin Wen Jiao has that in hand. I'm meeting them tomorrow.
No,
Liu Qingge says, more simply. Baichan Peak has relatively new disciples, possibly even some new ones this year, taken on by the other master warriors of Baichan Peak, but still none Liu Qingge has chosen personally. If the man is finally feeling a little clucky for his own personal disciples, then it would probably help if he'd bother looking at children he doesn't already know. It's more than a little weird, not having Binghe at the dinner table with them, but somehow they muddle through.
Luo Jiahui brings up her son's joking suggestion that Shang Qinghua get married and have children, which Liu Qingge seems to find alarming rather than amusing, which is funny. But Shang Qinghua gets his revenge by bringing up certain other people who are overdue for marriage and children, if stones are being thrown around. It's almost enough to ignore the empty space at the table. When Shang Qinghua gets back to Anding Peak, he finds Peng Hengpeng waiting for him with an expression which very clearly says, "Shifu, what the fuck?" Shang Qinghua can only assume the gossip surrounding whatever happened at the entrance test has made its way around all the peaks multiple times by now. "New disciples settling in?" Shang Qinghua asks. "Yes, though I keep thinking we're missing one for some reason, Shifu," Peng Hengpeng answers, looking satisfyingly wrong-footed for once. "Weird. Shall I keep you informed of the happenings of Qingjing Peak, Shifu?" "If you would. Very helpful. Thank you." The next morning, when Shang Qinghua is in his office, getting the rundown on the state of the sect post-entrance test from his head disciples, his little sister-in-law breaks in. It's startling, but not really surprising, and kind of a welcome break from hearing about all of the other usual yearly drama that went down. So-and-so picked a disciple promised to another peak. A rejected candidate's parents are throwing a fit because their child didn't get picked. One of Shang Qinghua's disciples rolled their ankle falling into a hole while cleaning up the testing grounds. Because someone has to fill those holes back in. And so on and so forth. The sort of bullshit that happens every year. "Daga, I'm here!" Luo Fanli shouts in greeting. "Where is he? I want to see him in an Anding Peak uniform. I'm not late for the inspection, am I?" Lin Wenjiao quickly straightens her uniform and fixes her hair before turning around to face the Xianxiu Peak disciple with a winning smile. Peng Hengpeng, on the other hand, gets what look like earplugs out of his sleeve and abruptly dismisses himself from the room. "Rude!" "You're just in time, Luo Shimei," Lin Wenjiao says. "Oh, good!" Luo Fanli looks very much like her sister, only taller, with a squarer face. She's supposed to be 23 or 24-ish, but Shang Qinghua thinks that Mu Qingfeng may have erred on the side of caution when correcting the ages of the House of Rejuvenation's victims. Luo Fanli looks closer to 20 in his opinion. Although, maybe that's because pretty much everyone looks like children to him these days. It's hard to tell. Last year, he asked Chen Xuan if the junior disciples were getting younger or something. "No, Shifu," his disciple answered, in a tone. Shang Qinghua gets to his feet and says, "Ah, he's not here, disciple Luo." Luo fondly frowns. "Oh, he went to Bai Chan after all, then?" Then she grins wide and maybe a little malicious. "That makes things easier. Thanks, Daga." "It's Shang Shibo on the mountain," Shang Qinghua says uselessly. Sometimes he really wonders if Luo Fanli listens when her nephew talks, although he's realizing now that Bingha might have purposefully timed many serious conversations for when his auntie wasn't actually in the vicinity. Conniving brat. And he's on Qingjing Peak. "Oh," Luo Fanli says, surprised. "I didn't think you'd let him get that far away." Shang Qinghua now has to wonder how deeply his nephew was motivated by avoiding his mother's younger sister. Or proving to her that he wasn't tied to her sister's apron strings, actually. Shang Qinghua originally set Fanli up for a place on Xianxiu Peak, When it became clear that war was shortly going to be declared in his sister-in-law's house, if someone didn't do something. They all loved each other, but, well, personalities were clashing in all sorts of ways. And the youth restoration cure left Fun Li burning with a little too much spiritual energy as a side effect. It was loud, very loud. He called in his favor with Chi Ching Chi, thinking that after Fun Li's rough experiences, she might not want to be around men. It turns out that he was conflating his sisters-in-law, and that it's the other way around. If anything, Luo Fun Li doesn't always like being around other women all that much. His mistake, for which Chi Ching Chi curses him vehemently and regularly. Luo Fun Li spends half her time on Bai Chan Peak these days, slipping Chi Ching Chi's orders, making Liu Mingyan look that much more of a model student by comparison. It turns out that Shang Cheng Hua's little sister-in-law got to experience her own body betray her, to feel her own mortality bearing down and all the frailties of old age, and it filled her with the urge to beat the shit out of things. Which, okay, that's fine. Thankfully, Liu Qingga is happy enough to oblige his sister-in-law when she's on the mountain. Chi Ching Chi has essentially thrown up her hands and declared the two of them deserve each other. At least it keeps them busy. Don't intrude on Ching Jing Peak, Shang Ching Hua says warningly. Shen Ching Chu is not receptive to random visitors from other peaks dropping in whenever they like. That sort of enforcement of territory would never work on An Ding Peak, nor on Xi Jiao Peak or Long Sheng Peak, given the chaos of their day in, day out. But Ching Jing Peak can pull it off better than most. Shen Ching Chu gets to decide who comes and goes. The man likes firm boundaries and well-respected positions. And, hypocritically, ignoring everyone else's. Which is probably why Yue Qingyuan's ability as sect leader to ignore all boundaries in the sect drives him up the wall. Luo Fun Li makes a face and says, I know. Everyone knows that. Good. Stay off his peak. Fine. Your Liu Shishu could probably use a distraction, Shang Ching Hua offers. Go spar with him instead of kicking Ching Jing Peak's doors down, and I'll skip the lecture I'm supposed to give you for skipping out on the last meal we were going to have as a family. Your sister was very disappointed. Did you know that? Luo Fan Li's mouth, open to argue, snaps shut. Only to open again and say, Ching Jing Peak? Really? Ching Jing? Shang Ching Hua sighs, telling himself once again that this is a surprise for everyone else. He's had years to get used to it. He knew Luo Bingha was headed for Ching Ching Peak before his nephew was even born. Everyone else isn't going to be able to go with this plot point. Which looks like a plot twist to them, quite so quickly. He needs to be understanding. Ching Ching, Luo Fun Li says for a third time, with a sort of disgust that Shang Cheng Hua is absolutely going to blame Liu Qingga for, before she turns on her heel and leaves without being dismissed. Shang Cheng Hua is a peak lord. These kids are supposed to ask him to be excused. Someone should tell them that. Bye, Luo Shimei, Lin Wen Zhao calls after her, a bit desperately. Shang Cheng Hua sighs again. You can walk her to Bai Chan if you stop at Tian Chao Peak on your way back and tell your Mu Shushu they're punching out their feelings again. He doesn't have to tell the young woman twice before Lin Wen Jiao is tripping over her own feet out the door after his little sister-in-law. About 3 years ago now, Disciple Dumpling Thief was complaining about how much money she was spending on Shang Cheng Hua's sister-in-law's food with the opening of Luo Jiahui's restaurant, waxing poetic about her favorite dish,
Luo Fanli, having crashed his office for no good reason again, scoffed at Lin Wenjiao's woes and says, "It's not hard to make. I can do it just as well." All of Shang Qinghua's starving disciples sat up straight at that, like predators spotting prey. When Lin Wenjiao, scheming creature, swallowed and said, "I dare you to prove it." Luo Fanli, oblivious to what was really happening, proved it. Now, Shang Qinghua's co-head disciple is absolutely smitten and does nothing to keep his little sister-in-law off the peak. He's pretty sure that disciple Dumpling Thief is a negative help in hurting his little sister-in-law, doing her best to emulate a certain war god, back to Shanshu Peak, actually. Shang Qinghua sits back behind his desk and sighs again. Who has the time for marriage and children? What a joke his backstabbing nephew made. Shang Qinghua already has the system and the plot and his family and the sect and more kids than he knows what to do with. Who has the energy? Maybe when he doesn't need to spy on his trouble-attracting nephew for his own well-being, he'll actually think about ridiculous things like that. The weeks pass without any spectacular incident from Qingjing Peak, or any incident at all. Shun Qingqiu can't really keep Anding Peak cultivators off Qingjing Peak entirely, not when they're performing the day-in, day-out necessary to maintain the sect, such as delivering basic necessities, reviewing storage facilities, and removing waste. Anding Peak cultivators aren't allowed to poke everything they like and bother the disciples, sure, but they are visiting every single peak all the time, stopping by the entrances and exits at least, which offers plenty of time to gossip with the locals. Peng Hong Peng reports that Shun Qingqiu has been a stricter taskmaster on Qingjing Peak than usual, perhaps having taken more of an interest in teaching again. But that all of the disciples seem well enough. There's nothing to suggest that Luo Bingha has been singled out for ridicule or punishment. No mention of a woodshed. There's a little tension between the children, maybe, as the newest members of the sect settle in, but nothing unusual. Shun Qingqiu never has been one for allowing Qingjing Peak to look bad to outsiders. "That's good to hear," Shang Qinghua says casually. He supposes that even tutorial-level backstory-forming villains like Ming Fan, the current, very young, head disciple of Qingjing Peak's current batch of junior disciples, know better than to bully the nephew of a peak lord. Luo Bingha's connection to Liu Qingga hasn't been made fully clear yet, but it's still obvious that this boy isn't just a grubby little orphan, but rather someone with multiple connections. It actually goes against the Qingjing Peak bully's characters to make a serious enemy of the protagonist of this world. Survival instincts where none were thought to exist. It's a miracle. Luo Jiahui is cheerful when Shang Qinghua visits, in the way of someone totally trying to pretend they're not experiencing empty nester feelings. It was one thing to let Fan Li go to Qiangchang Mountain Sect when the girl was practically bouncing off the walls to live as much of life as possible. But Bingha is, and always will be, his sister-in-law's baby. She misses him, though she disguises some of it as Granny's son asking after him, or Auntie Ting Ting, or Uncle Han, or Auntie Tea Shop. He writes to her every day he's able, but it's not the same. Unfortunately, peak lords don't really like letting their junior disciples roam free around the sect, much less down to the towns of the Tiangong mountain range to endanger or disgrace themselves, especially not brand new ones. Shang Qinghua understands why. If they let the kids do whatever they wanted, they'd be losing disciples like cats shed fur. Luo Bingha can't
bound down the mountain anytime he likes, like Liu Qingge and Shang Qinghua can. Qi Qingti trusts Shang Qinghua and Liu Qingge to bring Luo Fanli and Liu Mingyan up and down the mountain safely when they ask her for permission. But they don't really have the same arrangement with Shen Qingju. Luo Binghe is better off requesting permission to visit Anding Peak when he feels ready to make a selfish request of his formidable Shizun, and Luo Jiahui coming up to meet him. He says he's working up to it. Shang Qinghua finally sees his nephew about 2 months into Luo Binghe's time at Changchong Mountain Sect. It's in the middle of the night on Qingqing Peak. Shen Qingqiu has no fucking clue that Shang Qinghua is visiting, and they're not going to let the man know. They arranged for the meeting before Luo Binghe even stepped onto the testing grounds so that Shang Qinghua could check in on his nephew, really check in on his nephew, without having to go through anyone else. Luo Binghe looks fine. Shang Qinghua's nephew looks perfectly well, actually. He puts up with Shang Qinghua's Luo Jiahui mandated inspection, the Qingjing Peak uniform, which he wore, apparently, just to show it off, suits him very well. Shang Qinghua swears the boy has noticeably grown in the time he's been gone. Are they feeding you? Your mother is convinced they're not feeding you, Shang Qinghua says, as he hands over the lovingly wrapped up home-cooked meal he brought with him. I'm probably supposed to shove these down your throat or something, but feel free to use them to bribe your martial siblings or something instead. It's very effective. Luo Binghe grins helplessly down at the care package. Thanks, uncle. They sit together in the darkness, and Shang Qinghua asks, with his heart in his throat and the system in his head, how Qingjing Peak is treating his nephew. It's different, Luo Binghe answers. It's hard, but I think I like it. His nephew apparently doesn't see much of Shen Qingqiu, who is, of course, very busy as one of the leaders of the sect and teaches only the occasional class to oversee their progress. To Shang Qinghua, no great or frequently seen teacher himself, he admits openly. It sounds like Shen Qingqiu swoops in, makes everything look effortless, criticizes his students' hesitant efforts mercilessly, and then abandons them to their usual teachers to figure out how to improve before he visits again, or perish when he does. If Shen Qingqiu's health has taken a downturn again, he's good at hiding it from his disciples. Luo Binghe has no idea that his flawlessly skilled and hardworking master suffers from a chronically unstable cultivation base. Shang Qinghua doesn't tell him. If Shen Qingqiu gets any idea that his weakness is sect gossip again, any idea that Luo Binghe is looking down on him, things will get ugly, and that's what they are trying to avoid here. I don't doubt that a man as sharp-eyed as our Shizun must be very good at spotting things others wish went unseen in the higher dealings of the sect, Binghe comments diplomatically. He's very... nothing gets past him. It makes Peak Lord meetings interesting, Shang Qinghua agrees. It makes lessons interesting, too, Binghe mumbles. Shang Qinghua eventually brings his line of questioning back to the scene at the entrance tests. It looked pretty bad to him, but Binghe seems to have done well for himself in choosing Shen Qingqiu. It's a little bit mind-boggling. Shizun wanted to know my reasoning for seeking out Qingjing Peak, especially when there were clearly other options available, Binghe recounts. I don't know if my answer satisfied him, but I think Shizun found it less wanting than others I might have given. I said I didn't want to be held back by my advantages, even if the people doing it were well-meaning. So I preferred a teacher
highly skilled in many arts, who wouldn't accept a student who would take an easy route. Shang Chenghua thinks that nice little speech over. Ah, I think that's an insult towards Liu Qingge, me, and maybe even Yue Qingyuan, too, he says impressed. No fluff in that compliment. No falseness, either. Did he really like that? Luo Bingha shrugs. A very Liu Qingge gesture. He accepted it. Well, that's better than how the original story went.
Well said, Shang Chenghua says.
Thanks, uncle.
It really sounds like Luo Bingha is doing well at Qingjing Peak. Shang Chenghua can barely believe it. He's not so skilled in the various arts as many of his martial siblings, especially the well-born ones. But he's able-bodied, quick-minded, literate, and disciplined. And has the golden halo of the protagonist, of course, who only needs to keep putting in the effort until he soars high above everyone else. It sounds like he's managing his martial sibling's jealousy over Ning Yingying's attention, keeping in mind Shang Chenghua's suggestion not to allow himself to be alone and isolated with anyone if he can help it, and to be civil, if not friendly, even if he'd rather make enemies. If Shang Chenghua had gone around being rude to everyone he hated when he was a disciple, he would have had a very short career as a cultivator. Shen Qingqiu hates falseness and suspects it everywhere, but that doesn't mean Shang Chenghua's judgmental nephew should call Ming Fan an asshole to his face.
What if there's an emergency? Bingha asks.
In what situation would you need to call your Shixiang an asshole to his face? Shang Chenghua demands, amused. But sure, fine. If lives are on the line, sometimes Shixiangs really should be called an asshole to their face. It's true. It's probably good for them.
Shang Chenghua returns to Anding Peak, feeling pleasant surprise, trusting that his nephew isn't hiding any horrific treatment. From his uncle, he'd better fucking not be. The brat. All the villains in Proud Immortal Demon Way had their moments of absurd idiocy, ignorance, obliviousness, forgetfulness, and so on. But the man who successfully became the second highest ranking member of one of the most powerful sects in the world, the Peak Lord of Scholars and Strategists, apparently isn't stupid enough to make a scapegoat of a family member to two other Peak Lords. The bar is on the floor here, and Shang Chenghua hopes the man continues to step over it instead of digging under it. The man airplane shooting towards the sky wrote only had one face, his misfortunes unwritten and unshared, barely hinted at and then begrudgingly buried. The man who Shang Chenghua has spent the last 7 years watching intently is not a kind man, not a nice man, and often enough, not really a decent man either. He really shouldn't be allowed near children, honestly. But in this realized version of that flat world, Shen Qingqiu was there when Mu Qingfang cured the other victims of the House of Rejuvenation. He took on one of the former slaves as a student, the young woman with Ning Yingying at the testing grounds, actually, and forced one of the other former servants, the teen boy who was running messages there, on Yue Qingyuan, who wasn't so much forced as he was given no time to argue and also didn't. Shen Qingqiu hovered menacingly as Shang Chenghua found good work for the rest of the victims, and it was really very terrifying. He's not as much of an asshole in Shang Chenghua's direction during Peak Lord meetings anymore. But unfortunately, he's also apparently decided that Shang Chenghua is worth talking to compared to the others. So the total amount of assholery has only increased. It's unpleasant. Sometimes it's entertaining to be used as a human shield, but sometimes just awkward. They've also collaborated without bloodshed on a handful of occasions over the past 7 years. Though that's honestly probably because Shang Ching Hua just goes along with pretty much all of Shen Qing Chu's orders out of fear. If Shen Qing Chu suddenly declares that they're not doing any trade with a bunch of random nobles or merchants now, then Shang Ching Hua just has to tear some of his hair out and go with it. He has to make it work or die. Though, if Lady Dawn, or whoever is in Shen Qing Chu's shit list now, was connected to the House of Rejuvenation, then the man is probably right that Changchong Mountain Sect shouldn't be giving them any business. The combined disappointment and outrage of Luo Jiahui, Luo Fanli, Luo Bingha, and Liu Qingge, if they ever found out, would probably be the end of Shang Qing Hua. They somehow managed to collaborate on this shit, even when Shang Qing Hua has risked his life by chattering aimlessly about how it takes everything he has not to fucking snap at his disciples sometimes, who really have it better than he ever did, and, in the truest spirit of young people, take it for granted most of the time. But that's life, Shang Qing Hua complained. He signed up to look after them, and Shen Qing Chu didn't bite his head off for all that complaining. That's something, right? Maybe the man just straight up wasn't listening at all, but that's still something. Of course, a scum villain would treat their peer and their underling differently, so maybe it's all wishful thinking on Shang Qing Hua's part. But if this whole shitty story can maybe change, if Shang Qing Hua can change, then anyone and anything can change if they want it enough. There's no fucking excuse. Not really. But, can has never meant will. Shang Qing Hua is still thinking about the problem of Shen Qing Chu a few days later, alone in his leisure house, book open and unread in his lap. It feels like he's missing something. He just doesn't fucking know what yet. Things are going so well so far that he has to be missing something. He really can't trust the system is happy with all of these deviations so far. Can the shitty system even feel happiness? He doubts it. There's a hum of power behind him, the cool whoosh and crackle of a portal opening, the faint hair-raising warning of demonic energy. Shang Qing Hua finishes tapping at his own face in thought, looks up at the looming shadow standing behind him, and smiles. Hello, he says. Mo Bei Jun just blinks down at him and raises his eyebrows. Shang Qing Hua puts his book aside and stands, so he can do the usual bow, maybe a little more dramatically than necessary. My king, what an honor. Please sit. Allow me to offer only the greatest hospitality Changchong Mountain Sect can provide.
I expect to be impressed,
Mo Bei Jun answers. Shang Qing Hua steps away to fetch proper refreshments and snacks, while Mo Bei Jun sweeps off his cloak, spreading it over the back of his usual chair, and takes a seat. Shang Qing Hua returns shortly, with some Zuishan Peak wine he knows Mo Bei Jun likes, and some food from his sister-in-law's restaurant. He doesn't think the Demon Lord has had this particular dish before, but trying new things every now and again won't kill him.
Perhaps not immediately, if the poison is slow-acting,
Mo Bei Jun says, displeased. Trying new things I offer you won't kill you, Shang Qing Hua corrects, as he sits down again in his own spot. Please don't go taking free food samples from random demons come to beg for an audience in your father's court, my king. This servant would never forgive himself for accidentally orchestrating such a tragedy with poorly worded advice. Mo Bei Jun helps himself to the wine instead.
I'll consider it.
It shouldn't be difficult to focus on the demon lord taking up space. A lot of long-legged, thick-armed, broad-shouldered space. in his sitting room, but, the sights a person can get used to. It's really incredible. Shang Ching Hua finds himself staring into his wine, instead of enjoying the view. At least, until the demon lord he's accidentally ignoring calls him out for being distracted tonight. My apologies, my king, Shang Ching Hua says reflexively.
What is it?
My nephew has joined the sect. Mo Beijun frowns, eyes narrowing like he's trying to count the years that have passed, probably still picturing Shang Ching Hua's nephew as a 6-year-old. He's on another peak, under a different peak lord by his own choice, Shang Ching Hua explains. A little bit of teenage independence and rebellion, you know? I have people keeping an eye on him, of course, in case anything happens, but, the concern doesn't go away that easily, especially with that man as a master.
The boy could have come directly to the demon realm. There is a place for him now.
Shang Ching Hua tries not to, but he can't help it. He laughs. A 13-year-old half-human boy with sealed demonic powers and no training in the demon realm, my king? Thank you for the offer, but I really don't think that would go very well.
Perhaps not, Mo Beijun agrees.
Training in human cultivation techniques will help him manage his split nature when the seal breaks and give him a way to protect himself, Shang Ching Hua reasons, more to himself than to the demon lord across from him. He'll need protection of his own until he develops a demon's natural hardiness. Humans are too soft.
It is no wonder they are such scheming creatures,
Mo Beijun comments. Shang Ching Hua huffs in amusement. I really don't doubt my king's protection, I promise. But there are prejudiced and self-serving people on all sides. He should have all weapons available to him. I'd be a poor guardian if I didn't strive to make sure my nephew can protect himself without needing to rely on anyone, even me. In case I let him down someday, Shang Ching Hua admits, though the statement feels more like an inevitability rather than a possibility today. Mo Beijun doesn't answer. That's what all parents do eventually, right? Let us down a little bit? Even if they're good, when we realize they can't do everything? Shang Ching Hua says, feeling way too pathetic, even though he's only had a sip of wine. I've told him I can't actually hold up the world, but I don't think he believes me just yet.
To your credit.
Thank you, my king. Shang Ching Hua takes a drink and does his best to dismiss the sorry mood he's brought down on them for no good reason. My king, apologies for taking up your time with my troubles. I haven't yet asked why you've come or what I can do for you. How may I serve you? Mo Beijun doesn't answer right away, just looking at him, which makes Shang Ching Hua wonder for a moment if there's a business reason for the demon visiting tonight at all.
There is increasing displeasure throughout the demon realm with the last Immortal Alliance conference,
Mo Beijun says finally. Shang Ching Hua groans. Of course there is. Why did Huanhua Palace have to make such a production of it? Look how united the human realm is. Unlike the demon realm, the fall of Tianlangjun is only the beginning. The palace master really could have just personally mailed every demon lord a letter telling them to go fuck themselves if his goal was making people as angry as possible.
An expensive endeavor,
Mo Beijun says. True, but still much cheaper than the party he threw. It really was a spectacle. A big, incident-inciting spectacle. Huanhua Palace tried their best to make the second go at the revived Immortal Alliance conference twice as big, twice as long, and 100 times more unbearable as the last one. The invitations were so bad that some demons tried to attack the event. A total failure. Shang Ching Hua almost wondered if they were hired for a show. And people traveling to or from the event. Alliances were hastily made to defend territory, or even return blows. Realm borders have never not been a point of contention, but they've gotten even worse since the Second Immortal Alliance Conference just last year. I still have no idea how Haimun Pier Sect managed to fight off that demon saintess and then go and destroy the Yan clan, but the whole thing makes sect leader Dong look so suspicious. And Lian He and Jiyuan sects are forming a formal alliance now that they've avenged that trade caravan massacre. Shang Cheng Hua relates. If anyone gives them a straight shot at the demon clan who did it, they're taking it. No questions asked. The Alliance of Rogue Cultivators in the area is trying to get people's attention and respect by hunting down mixed families now. It's a mess. Shang Cheng Hua has been kept very busy as an unfortunately powerful figure in the human realm's trade and as the man in charge of Changchong Mountain Sect's logistics as they attempt to offer what aid they can to everyone at once. Shun Qingqiu must be kept busy analyzing the movements of the demons and the righteous sects alike, answering pleas for Changchong's insight into a shitty world that never fucking stops. The man probably isn't at all enjoying the extra time spent with Yue Qingyuan over that. Hopefully he doesn't turn around and take it out on his disciples when he's less busy. Shang Cheng Hua wishes that the world was safe for his half-demon nephew, but that supposes that the world as it is safe for anyone else. It's really, really not. Mo Bei Jun has some insights on the demon side of things, especially the most powerful demon clans who have settled enough since the fall of Tianlangjun to take notice of Huanhua Palace sect shouting at the top of their lungs about how this is the beginning of the end for demons. Shang Cheng Hua really doesn't like the sound of that. The attention of demon kings can't be good. But what information Mo Bei Jun can offer him is good to know, even if he doesn't like hearing it. At the very least, he might be able to get a word to Tianyi Overlook to redirect an apparently incensed demon lord near them away from the populated areas. The mess from the last Immortal Alliance conference keeps the conversation between them going for a long time. Shang Cheng Hua thinks this means very bad things for the next one. But he already knew that. Really, his work at this last Immortal Alliance conference wasn't so bad. He had to organize transport and accommodation for a large number of Changchong cultivators, and also ensure that Changchong's various gifts and donations were delivered. But he at least didn't have to organize the damn thing. But the whole thing was still so stressful that it almost felt worse. The only good part about the event was getting to see Duan Tianyu and Yu Qiaonan and their friends at Huanhua Palace Sect in person again. Reunions are overall still terrible, though, Shang Cheng Hua says, and Mo Bei Jun agrees to that, at least. One of my not-disciples got married. Since when are young men rushing to make those bows? They're too young for that. Ridiculous. I have a recent letter from him somewhere here, Shang Cheng Hua remembers, standing up again to find it. There were some important details in Yu Qiaonan's letter in regards to Huanhua Palace sect and the realm borders, he thinks, and also a very cheeky answer to Shang Cheng Hua's initial incredulous demands as to why the young man would ever get married, especially so soon. Why? Because I fell in love, Master Shang. Kids these days. Outrageous. Insulting. How is a person supposed to argue with completely ridiculous statements like that? A cool hand at Shang Cheng Hua's hip prevents him from walking off to go hunt down the offending letter. Shang Cheng Hua looks down at Mo Bei Jun, then lets himself be pushed back in the direction of the sofa. Ah, well. He doesn't need that letter right now.
My king, I think I've had too much to drink to keep talking about politics, Zhang Qinghua confesses eventually, repressing a yawn. At least he doesn't have to get up at the crack of dawn for training anymore, as he suffered in his days as a disciple discreetly serving a demon lord. I'll look into the movements of the Sun clan, of course, and try to find a way to dissuade them from causing any more trouble in the northern lands.
Mo Beijun nods.
What of your nephew's master?
What?
He is causing concern,
Mo Beijun says, with an expression like he really doesn't understand how Zhang Qinghua has difficulty keeping up with the conversation.
Yes, Zhang Qinghua agrees slowly. But my nephew seems determined to face him.
He could be removed.
The system really doesn't like that, which nearly makes Zhang Qinghua laugh again. If I wanted him dead, I'd do it myself, my king. But thank you.
The system doesn't really like that either, but, well, fuck the system.
Mo Beijun nods again, unoffended. I'll let you know if I change my mind, my king, Zhang Qinghua adds, because he really does appreciate the offer. It's almost considerate for Mo Beijun. It would take some work to make Mo Beijun's involvement not cause more problems than it would solve, but Zhang Qinghua really does like having as many backup plans as possible in his pocket. But for now, I think I'm going to see how things play out.